Well, today is the 9th of July, 2022. It's about 15 to 2. I'm on the line with Logan, who I've run into a couple of times. And Logan, you're in the Monterey area usually, though you kind of vacillate between here and there. Something of a gamer, I understand, like myself. And you've had experiences with the mental health institutions in that area. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I've had a pretty good amount of experience with those.
What are the main mental health industrial complex type places that you have in Monterey County? Maybe I'm putting it badly, but places where you can be held on a 5150.
Places where you get held. All I really know of is Chomp. That's the only place I've been in. That's a Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula, I think is the acronym, but everyone calls it just Chomp.
Uh-huh. How big is it? I mean, how many people does it hold?
Oh, I didn't get a good number. There were about 20 people there, though, which I'm not sure if that's large or small on the grand scale of things. I've only been in a couple different places, but it was decently sized.
And when was your first experience with this place?
And
what led you to seek or be sought after to take you there?
Well, I've got serious bipolar disorder, and I was in a pretty bad depressive episode. My meds were not working. They weren't doing the things they should do. And I ended up having some serious SI. I thought, rather than act on those, I should seek some help.
So, is this something that's occurred for you before? Is it something relatively new in your life? What would you say about that?
Yes to both of those. I've had this experience before, but it is still relatively new in my life. My first hospitalization was just a little bit more than a year ago.
And this was done
May of last year.
Voluntary hospitalization, or you were dragged away, so to speak?
So to speak, I was dragged away. I was not a completely willing to go, but I knew kind of in the pit of my stomach that this is what should be happening. I wasn't kicking and screaming at all, but it wasn't quite voluntary. I was held under 5150 that first time, but this most recent time was completely voluntary.
Did that indicate that you had a good experience the first time that was helpful for you, and so you decided to return when a similar problem came up?
Yeah. I found my first hospitalization to be, if not helpful, at very least a good place for me to be, as opposed to at home where I had access to a bunch of different methods. I can't say it was a completely positive experience, but it wasn't a bad one. Not by any means. In that time, the very first one, I was held in John Muir Hospital in Concord, which is a good ways away.
And how did that compare with the community hospital in the Monterey Peninsula?
Compared to Chomp, John Muir was lacking. I don't want to badmouth it, but it didn't have quite as many resources as Chomp. So Chomp just got a big grant to update their mental health facilities. So, yeah, it's got a leg up. It didn't feel as comfortable. It was more very clinical, very hospital feeling, as opposed to Chomp, which, well, you're still in a hospital, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't quite feel that way, at least aesthetically. You know, you don't look at it and think, man, this
So, in the first experience up north, was it, well, let me ask, how long were you held there?
I was held there for 8 days.
So you were not only on a 5150, you were on a 5250?
I don't think I ever got put on 52. I was on 5150 for 3 days, and they decided that it would be best to keep me there for a little longer. I could have left if I wanted to, but I, at that time, was calm enough to rationally think, yeah, this is probably best.
What would you describe as the good points and the bad points up in, again, what city are we talking about?
Concord.
Up in Concord, thank you. Give me the pluses and the negatives.
Pluses were, frankly, the other patients. I hadn't experienced a place where I had so many understanding people surrounding me. Because I had just been at home. For the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I had my parents and my brother, but they're not going through mental health crises. They don't know what's up. But the other people there were incredibly kind, understanding, and offered a lot of good advice. They had been there before. They knew the routine, and it was my very first time in a psych ward. I don't know. But it was my very first time in a hospital for that purpose, and I felt very at home amongst the other patients. The nurses were fine, but, you know, nothing stand out.
What age were you when you entered for the first time the psych ward?
When I entered, I was 19, just about to turn 20.
Mm-hmm. And so those are the pluses. What about the negatives of Concord? Were you in Concord? Were you transported from Monterey County, or did you, you know, get picked up near the Concord Hospital? How did that happen?
So, I was in Santa Cruz at the time. I was picked up by the sheriff, brought to telehealth for the night, because my mom called the sheriff at about midnight, 1 a.m., so it wasn't easy to just go to a hospital and say, you know, I need help. They're busy at that time. Or closed. Sometimes people who will admit you just aren't there. So I got brought to telehealth, where I was held for, let's see, probably about 8 hours. Oh, maybe 10.
Now, did you call your mom to express concern that you wanted some kind of psychiatric intervention in an institutional way, or did she make a decision in that regard through some other mechanism?
We had no idea what we were doing at that point. So she just called 911, said, my son is looking to harm himself and others. I need to put him under 5150. So the sheriff drove up to our house, picked me up, and brought me to telehealth.
So you were living in Santa...
They arranged an ambulance to bring me to John Muir Hospital. I guess that was the only place that was accepting people. This was... COVID was still a very real presence.
So this was...
It's still there, but you don't feel it as much.
So you were living in Santa Cruz at the time, and in fact, I guess your mom still does live here, right?
Yeah, my mom... We've moved, but we're still on Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently living with her for the summer.
Mm-hmm. The second hospital you went to then was this one in Monterey County. How did you happen to get into that one?
I got into CHOMP by just contacting my university mental health services, saying, you know, I feel like I want to die.
Does your insurance cover this kind of shit, or is it a big burden for you or your family?
I'm incredibly blessed that my mom is a nurse through Sutter Health.
Mm-hmm.
Her insurance is wonderful, at least for this sort of stuff. My hospital visits have been almost completely covered. And so, I am incredibly grateful. I know that is not an opportunity that most people have. You know, not a lot of people have fantastic insurance like that through their work. And so, it hasn't been a burden on us, honestly. It's been we're very lucky that that's the case.
Now, the place where you were initially held, I guess, perhaps was it in both times at, what's it called?
Telehealth?
Telehealth, is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. That's the name I was given, telehealth.
What was your impression of the services there? Because the group that I work with, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, that's where people were sent originally, and then against their will, they were shipped to other places. And they have a lot of concern about improper treatment, which apparently you didn't have any of, or at least you had it didn't stick out in your mind, right?
Yeah, telehealth was something. Everyone was asleep, so I was pretty much one of the only people awake, aside from the orderlies.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good experience. I was in a very bad state of mind. I don't think look back on that and think, man, I had a really awesome experience.
Right.
But it wasn't a bad one. I wasn't treated poorly, but then again, I was very, you know, kind of not sober, I guess, but very calm, collected, or not collected, but calm and not causing a fuss about everything. There were some people who were, I don't think I was being held there against my will. I could have left at any time. At least two other people left during that time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they came and they left.
Yeah, they came in, or they were there already, but they left during that point.
Did you see anybody who was, although you might not have known this, shipped out somewhere else against their will?
No, I was the first person out the door.
And you were only there for a few hours?
I was only there for like 8 to 10 hours. I got there at maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I stayed there till about 10 or 11.
And this was, you were only there on the one occasion, not on the earlier occasion when you got ended up in.
No, that was the first, on the earliest occasion, that's where I went first.
I see.
When I went to Chomp, I just went straight to the hospital.
Uh-huh. They took you by ambulance from Santa Cruz?
I was in Monterey when I was at Chomp.
I see.
This was during the school year, so I was attending university there.
Uh-huh.
And some of the campus police picked me up, called an ambulance, and I was taken by ambulance to Chomp. After that, I was placed in a waiting room and waited a good long while. These things take time. And eventually I was admitted into their mental health ward.
At either of these institutions, were you advised of your right to refuse medication, or at least to choose and be fully informed about it, to suggest you might want to try a different kind of medication yourself, to hold off on the medication until you consulted with a friend or another individual that you trust, a support person? They have what they supposedly protects people who are being held on 5150s or even voluntarily going in there, the right to say, the Reese decision, as they called it, from a case that was successful in 1989 in San Francisco, which was a woman named Reese, whose first name I've forgotten, was able eventually to get the ability to say, look, I'm not irrational or crazy. I have various problems. I don't want these medications because they have had bad effects. I think they eventually killed her, these medications. This was 1989, but I don't know the medications have that significantly improved. But you apparently have had some positive experiences, which is good. I guess were you advised of your Reese protections? Was there an advocate who came and spoke to you? Were you advised that there was an advocate you could talk to? How did that go in either of these places?
Yes, I've been hospitalized 4 times now, and every single time they are very careful to advise me of my patient's rights. I'm told I am allowed to refuse medication if I really don't want it, and there's always an advocate who I can talk to.
That sounds good.
They have rights posted on the walls, at least in John Muir, Chomp, and El Camino. Those three hospitals I have stayed at, and all three of them have, in one place or another, a list of your patients' rights that you can read and, go over, learn. And one of those is the right to privacy, which is, sometimes violated a little. At least I felt that way. But overall, they respect your patients' rights. At least mine were respected.
Now, the John Muir is the one up in Concord?
Yeah, John Muir is the one up in Concord.
And you mentioned...
El Camino is in Mountain View, and Chomp is in Monterey.
And how did you end up in Mountain View, or learn about that?
So in Mountain View, following my first hospitalization in John Muir Hospital, I was brought to a young adults program for coping with depression. We hadn't been diagnosed with bipolar disorder at that point.
How long ago was that?
This was last summer, so only about a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a bit less than a year ago now.
Okay.
So, I was sent there because it's closer to Santa Cruz than Concord is,
mm-hmm.
and it was a close enough compromise that I was willing to make the commute to go there. And during that point, I had a manic episode and was hospitalized once again for being a threat to others and myself.
So, psychiatric terminology aside, how would you describe in common terms what a manic episode means for you, if you wish to?
Oh, no. I'm totally free to share. For me, what a manic episode means, I've only experienced hypomanic episodes, which aren't quite manic episodes, but they're, partway there. It means elevated mood, elevated energy. Sometimes I become irrational. I become easily angered. And often enough, I don't remember very well what happens during them. My inhibitions are released. I end up spending a lot of money that I shouldn't. And that's what they look like for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Very good feeling, constantly on the high of, this is awesome, I'm having a really good day today, let's go make this better by spending money on something.
How frequently does this mood hit you, and in what circumstances you describe it as legitimate and others as pathological? So are you able, though, at the time, to some extent, to identify, distinguish between, I don't know, spiritual exaltation and some what you would describe as a pathological manic or hypomanic incident?
It's really hard to tell when you're in the swing of it. Often, if you're just feeling like you had a good day, you usually got a reason for it. Or maybe sometimes you don't even have a reason. Sometimes you just wake up feeling good. But when you're in that hypomanic episode, you wake up feeling fan-freaking-tastic. And you might not even sleep that night. You have so much energy. You have so much drive. You're willing to do so much stuff. You get a lot of work done, whether or not it was any good, but you get a lot of stuff done. All my chores get done, all my homework, everything gets done to varying degrees of quality, but, you know, you've got enough energy where you're just going to say, I'm going to go ahead and do this, and I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to put my all into it, which doesn't sound bad, but when you go 3 days without sleep because of it, that's when it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. Have you
or when you feel so good, you want to spend a lot of money. You know, you can put yourself at risk doing this, especially when driving. You feel invincible, you know, speeding 15 miles above the speed limit, just swerving around.
I would never do that.
Well, that's the danger of it.
Yeah.
You can put yourself in a lot of very dangerous situations just because you feel invincible and awesome.
Have you experienced any problems because of this diagnosis that you apply to yourself, manic depressive, bipolar? I guess you haven't used the words manic depressive, but bipolar, hypomanic. Any kind of discrimination, either in your family, if you wish to say, or among friends, or any elsewhere in the general population?
Well, I don't go out shouting. I don't wear a T-shirt that says I have bipolar disorder. I'm free to say it to tell anyone who asks, but. I'm not wearing that on my sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Within my family, I've faced very little discrimination. They're very understanding. They know that just because you have a diagnosis doesn't make you any less of a person. But I have lost friends over it. They don't say anything. They just stop contacting you once you say, you know, I've been in the hospital for 2 weeks. Sorry, I missed your call. I feel, get a little scared of that. They're not sure what you're capable of, and they want to back off a bit.
Is that frequent, or just rare, or occasional? How would you describe that?
Aside from some of my, you know, very closest friends, I've lost most of my friends because of this.
So it's pretty regular then. Ridiculous.
But
do you form any
of our education, you know, our mental health education. People don't really know what everything is. They only know what it is from TV and stuff. You know, I get asked by some people, oh, does that, if you have bipolar, does that mean you feel great and then just like snap, you're feeling terrible and constant back and forth? And no, that's not what it is. Maybe that's how it's displayed, but no, that's not how it is in reality.
Mm-hmm. Is there something you'd like to say in terms of if you were educating someone and based on your experience as to, well, I mean, you sound like you're doing it even as we're talking here. You know, you're saying you've lost friends as a consequence of you feel misinformation that goes out or misunderstanding. People who are improperly apprehensive about you. What about people that you've had contact with in these various wards? Do you maintain any kind of connection with any of them?
unspoken rule, you don't really contact each other outside of it unless you really want to. And though I'd love to talk to some of these people again, we haven't really maintained contact. So,
are there any?
I'm not eating up about it.
Uh huh. Are there any peer groups of people who have had experiences with wards, positive or negative, and with these mental health categories that are around in Santa Cruz or in Monterey County? I know we have MH Can to some extent, but have you had much experience with any of these groups?
Yeah, I've joined a couple peer support groups. I haven't stuck with any of them, but nothing against them, just not for me. NAMI is a really good one. That was my favorite. They meet online and just talk about everything that's going on. And that doesn't sound like it would do much, but it's incredible how much just being able to voice what is wrong and what's right can do for you, and hearing other people to say what is wrong and what is right.
Mm-hmm.
With their life, and just know that you are not alone. That is such an incredible tool to have. That's NAMI, N-A-M-I. You can look them up.
National Alliance for Mentally Ill.
They do a lot of stuff all across the country, but they've got a Santa Cruz chapter, I think. And they've been lovely for myself and my family.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's been helpful for you. I'm no fan of NAMI myself, but I mean, if you've been helped, that's great. You know, that one person's experience is one thing and another person's is another. So, you know, I haven't had personal experience with NAMI. I've just, they tend to be very medication oriented that I've seen. I don't know about Santa Cruz's chapter, but nationally.
Yeah, I'd say that's a way to describe them, medication oriented. They do emphasize the importance of taking your medication, which, though not king, I personally believe is an important factor. You know, it's not the only thing that should ever be helpful. You know, do not rely solely on medication, by no means. But I do believe in a lot of cases, proper medication is helpful, at least. If not a good solution. I don't know. Is that something that you disagree with? I just, in my personal experience, I found my medication to be very helpful.
Well, that's the important issue. How you have found it personally. It's just the tendency is for the psychiatric industry and the mental health industry to rely very heavily on medication, partially because the entire conceptual framework of the, this is my opinion, of course, has to do with, you know, describing behavioral and mental states as essentially brain illnesses, which I think is inaccurate and is actually was disproved in the 80s. I take a lot of my text, if you will, my biblical text from Mad in America, author Robert Whittaker, but there are plenty of others who, you know, who agree with him. But, you know, it's what I think, and you'll hear it if you listen occasionally to the interviews on this, and so will the audience that's listening to what we're discussing here on this particular show that I do over the, I don't know, last 25 years. Or more, actually, now. But, you know, I'm not primarily focused on psychiatric issues. Mostly, however, homeless people have a lot of particular risk for being treated as medical problems, whether it's drug abuse or alcoholism, all of which are not necessarily, you know, they're real problems that can happen, often as a condition of the miserable conditions people face outside. And the discrimination they face. This is my view again.
I'm in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's often. Yeah, I think. So, I'm glad we agree on that. But we don't need to agree on all things for us to exchange our experiences and benefit from what each of us has learned in the course of where we're, you know, our various paths.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
What's up?
I don't know if that got picked up. Someone drove by very loud.
No, I didn't hear most of it. It's kind of a crackly sound, but it didn't. I don't think it interfered with what you were saying.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No problem. We've talked a bit about the Reese decisions. I'm concerned about protections of people who get picked up for a mental illness who are homeless, and not necessarily because they're not seeking treatment. They don't necessarily want treatment. They want to be left alone, or they want to get some basic resources that are being perennially denied to most people outside. You'll get token services all over the place, but no really substantive kind of thing that, like, for example, you might get if you were in the military killing machine that's known as the Army or any of these. You can hear my prejudices coming out here. But the issue for me is, for example, with these Reese protections, have you ever heard the word Reese protections or Reese?
I believe it's been tossed around before.
Good.
I'm not intimately familiar.
Oh, that's true.
It's bad, but I've heard the term.
That's good. I'm just wondering, do you have any experience in the wards that you were on with people who either had good experiences or not with these particular protections? Or did you hear any complaints, or were people forthcoming about these things if they talked about them at all?
People aren't usually quick to gripe in there. People try to at least maintain a veneer of positivity. Some people don't bother, but, you know, the people who are active in the wards tend to try and stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about anyone really rejecting or being or having their Reese protections violated. That said, I usually get placed in the, I don't know, what would you call it, good behavior sections. Some of these hospitals have sections for people who are going to be more belligerent or are going to fight back against being helped, and sections for people who are calmer, maybe more collected, and who are going to be more forthcoming and more willing to participate in their own treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get placed in the latter category because often enough I'm placed, well, twice now, I've been placed voluntarily into hospitals, and the other two I am able to get over myself, well, not quite get over myself, but get over my episodes. They end within a matter of a couple days, and I get placed in the good boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to call it the good boys section. That sounds rude, but...
No, that's fine. That's it's okay. I mean,
it's... Like it gets the idea across. John Muir didn't have one of those, but El Camino and Chomp did.
How about the what's this, in Santa Cruz?
Telehealth?
Yeah.
That was telehealth, at least what I experienced. Telehealth was incredibly small. There were, like, two rooms for people to sit and sleep, and one with a TV where people could watch it. I just stayed up the entire night. I couldn't sleep. So.
Dig it.
But.
Any experiences with MH Can?
MH Can. I can't say that I have.
Mental health clients. It's all right. Mental Health Clients Action Network, although it's known by the acronym MHCAN, it's a peer group of folks labeled, or who have described their concerns or have them described as mental illness categories. Or simply are looking for counseling among people who've had similar experiences, not experts with degrees and academic credentials necessarily. you know, who pontificating and get paid for it, but may not be terribly helpful, or maybe. I mean, I guess that it varies, obviously, from person to person. That's M.H. Cann. It's out. It's in Santa Cruz, off of Soquel Avenue, and it's run by former psychiatric. I would call them psychiatric victims, but you know, people who've had problems, and whether in institutions or out of institutions, they form together to try to be supportive of each other.
Yeah, I can't say I'm familiar. But yeah. That sounds lovely. I'm sure earlier in my diagnosis, a year ago, I would have really appreciated being a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've visited them, I've interviewed them. I've denounced the attempts to shut them down because the police don't like the fact that a lot of homeless people go there. They don't like the fact that they are, I don't know, somewhat libertarian in their perspective. I mean, it's not a hospital. You know, you come in and there are resources for you that are, you can cook your own food if you want. You used to be able to. You could eat there as well at different points. Although I think it was, there are different activities you can engage in. You're free to come and go. I mean, it's and you can meet people and form associations. But the city didn't like it, so they started shutting down the number of people that were allowed to come, requiring a security guard, even though there was no security problem, as far as I could tell from the interviews I did with people. Police were negotiating because they wanted, with people in the neighborhoods trying to gather negative reports. You would think this wouldn't be a function of what the police department does, but they actually are. I mean, they are politically conservative, and they would prefer to eliminate visible poverty. That was the main point in their area. And people who were clearly poor looking would come and knock on the door at M.H. Cann and come in. M.H. Cann was fine with that, but not, I don't know, some of the neighbors or the police felt that they could actually get some kind of, critical assessments going around the neighborhood. They've done that in different places at different times with people living in their vehicles, for example, who are in different places in the city. And it's not that they're engaging in any criminal behavior, but there's some neighbors who don't want them there because they deter from the property value. They're a danger to the children, even though there's no indication of that other than the fact that they live in a vehicle. So, yeah, M.H. Cann has had a sort of a hard history, and they're still there. If you get interested, you want to peek in on them, you can see what you think. I'm supportive of their attempt to be able to serve more people if they want. But again, I'm supportive of people in homeless encampments being able to survive without being busted or harassed by police. So that's kind of what I do, or that's at least my perspective. So I guess, is there more that you want to say about this subject that comes immediately to mind, or I don't know, how are we doing on this? We've had it for half an hour now. Let's see where we're at.
I can't say I have a lot more to say about the topic, other than just the mantra that you always learn in these places is that it will get better, even if you're in the darkest place. You know,
I think
it may take us some time, but it will always get better, and so that's something that's what I've learned to live by.
Well, there's some truth to that for sure. I agree. Mostly as on an individual level, I guess. I don't think it's true institutionally. I think things are...
Oh, no. Yeah. On a very personal, individual level, at least having that mantra can help you through a lot of stuff. Where if you don't have it, you might just...
Despair.
Fall into despair.
Yeah. And then Yeah. I guess I can leave it there, unless there's something you want to add.
No, that was my last stat.
Fair enough. And we have been talking with Logan, if I'm not mistaken.